Hey, morning everyone. Welcome to the first daf in Maseches Menachos. We are starting today, obviously, on Daf Beis, and we begin with the first Mishnah in the Masechta, just an overview of the Masechta. Masechta, obviously, is a companion to the previous Masechta. Zvachim Menachos really come together as a unit, even though they're broken up into two separate Masechtas, but really, we are staying on topic. We're talking about Karbanos, and we're talking about the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. And this Masechta is no different. We are going to continue on that trend. A lot of the ideas and a lot of the discussions that we're going to be having in Menachos are going to be Chazar. It's going to be a review of that which we learned back in Masechta Zvachim. So it would make for a great way to reinforce a lot of the ideas that we talked about and we spoke about. In fact, in today's daf, you're going to hopefully should sound familiar. The whole discussion that we're having in the beginning of today's daf is going to be just simply a repeat of what we said in the first daf in Zvachim. However, the topic change that comes up here in this Masechta is that we're going to be primarily discussing Menachos. Menachos are flower offerings, as opposed to Karbanos, which we've discussed extensively back in Masechta Zvachim, which are dealing with animals. So our Masechta primarily deals with a Mincha flower offering. If you look in Vayikra and Perek Beis, so the Torah introduces us for the first time to that of a Mincha offering. I'm just going to take a look quickly at some of the Psukim in Perek Beis. It's just a brief introduction to the Masechta. So this is the first pasuk in Perek Beis. V'nefesh ki sikrav karban mincha la Hashem. If a person is going to be bringing a mincha, soles yiyeh karbanov v'yatzak ala Hashem v'nasan ala levona. So the Torah first introduces us to the main components of a karban mincha. It's made up of fine flour, and oil is going to be mixed into it, and levona is going to be placed on top of it. V'yaviyo b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim v'kamatz misham alo kumso misaltao mishamna. And then it's brought over to Aaron, where he then is going to be doing a kemitza, removing a fistful of the flour and oil from the solos and from the shemen. Al kol levona sa, together with all the levona, v'ktir ha-kohen sa es karasa mizbecha, and that is going to be brought up onto the mizbech. So, just like with an animal, where parts of the animal are sprinkled onto the mizbech, notably the blood, so when it comes to a mincha, so part of the mincha is going to be not sprinkled onto the mizbech, but actually placed on the mizbech, burnt on top of the mizbech, and that is going to be a fistful of flour and oil and all of the levona. Later in the Masechta, we're going to be speaking in detail exactly how all this is done procedurally. And then whatever is going to be left over is going to be given over to Aaron, and they're going to be eating it, and it falls under the category of Kodesh Kodashim. Falling under the category of Kodesh Kodashim, as we've learned already numerous times in Masechta Zvachim, but as we're going to be repeating right now, meaning that it is only eaten by Zechei Kohuna, by the male Kohanim, and it is only eaten in the Azara. So then the Torah goes on to illustrate and identify various types of Karban Mincha. So I'm going to run through these Pesukim quickly. We're going to be learning over the course of the Masechta later on much greater details regarding the various categories of minchas. The first one the Torah describes is ma'afet tanur, that which is baked in an oven. V'mincha ma'achvas karban echa solos bula b'shemen matzah tiyeh, pasos oso pitim v'yasakta la'shemen mincha hi. Torah then talks about a karban mincha that is fried on a, kind of like a griddle. V'minchas ma'cheshes karban echa solos b'shemen ta'aseha. Another type of karban which is fried but deep fried is the ma'cheshes. Torah here introduces us to the concept of Hagasha, which is true by every Mincha, where after the Mincha, before the Kemitza is done to the Mincha, so there is a procedure, process known as Hagasha, which is basically that you take the bowl that the Karban Mincha is in, and you simply touch it, you connect it to the Mizbeach on the southwest side of the Mizbeach. We'll talk more about that later in the Masechta as well. Once again, the Torah reviews for us the idea of taking off the kemitza. And the Torah then says that anything left over, which is the majority of it, is going to be eaten by the Kohanim. Torah also tells us that when it comes to a Karban Mincha is not to be made out of chametz, meaning that when it is prepared in a quick manner so that it does not allow for any leavening. We'll be learning in the Masechta that this is primarily true for all Menachos. There are two notable exceptions which we'll see later in the Masechta. Okay. And the Torah goes on a little bit more with Karban Mincha, but as an introduction. So that is just an opening to the Masechta, a quick look at the Pesukim, in which the Torah teaches us about the Karban Mincha, and with that we begin. We are starting on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We're starting on the Mishnah, and the first discussion here in Masechta Menachos, like I said earlier, it should sound familiar. The Mishnah begins, Kol HaMenachos SheNikmitzu Shelo Lishman. So if a Karban Mincha, where the Kemitza was done Shelo Lishman, the Kohen, when doing the Kemitza, did not have the right Kavana, Ksheros, the Mishnah tells us that such a Mincha is still going to be kosher, Ella Shelo Alu Labalam L'Shem Chova. It's just that the owner of this Karban Mincha does not get credited for this Karban Mincha, and if he's obligated to bring the Karban Mincha, let's say he made a neder, he pledged that he was going to bring this Karban Mincha, and in doing so by saying the word Alai, meaning now that he has personal responsibility and liability to bring this Karban, and if anything happens, he's still on the hook to bring a Karban. So because the Kohen, when offering this Karban, had a Shinui Kodesh, had a change of designation of this Karban when doing any one of the Avodas, so then the Mincha still works, but the owner still has to bring his own Karban Mincha. Chutz mi Minchas Chote u Minchas Kanaus, with a notable exception of the Mincha of the Chote and the Mincha of the Sota. Mincha v'chote, there are a number of times in the Torah where the Torah allows for somebody who is responsible to bring a Karban Chatas to, if economically, financially unable to offer to afford an animal, so is allowed to bring a Karban Mincha. You will see all these examples in the fifth parak of Vayikra. So this is what is referred to as a Mincha Chote. Mincha Sota, which we're going to be discussing also later in this Masechta as well, the Mincha that's offered by a Sota to clarify exactly what happened in the room when she secluded herself with that man. So these are the types of Menachos where if a Shinui happens, if a Shalolosh Mamachshava occurred by the Kohen, so here it's going to be a deal breaker. The Mincha itself is not going to be good. One thing also that we already pointed out back in Zvachim, but as long as we're opening up Seb Masechta Menachos, it's really important that we all keep this in mind. When doing the avoda with the mincha, so just like we said that there are four avodas with the blood of a carbon of an animal, so too there are four corresponding avodas as it relates to a mincha. The four corresponding avodas are the avoda, the first the avoda of the kemitza, the removal of the fistful of the flour by the kohen, then, and that corresponds to the avoda in the karban of shechita. Then, the next parallel avoda is in an animal, kabbalah bekli, receiving the blood in a bowl, by a mincha, so it's taking the kometz that's in the fist of the kohen, and putting it into a second kli sharis to be mekadesh the kemitza. Number three, holacha, by the blood, which corresponds to a mincha, to hagasha, to the presentation of the mincha to the mizbeach, and finally number four is that of zrika. When it comes to a mincha, it's the burning of the kemitza on the top of the mizbeach. So just like we say by an animal that the dala avodas, if a machshava during any one of the dala avodas is going to be significant, in most cases create detachment from the carbon to its owner, so to by a mincha, same thing with the four avodas as it relates to a carbon mincha, that if the Kohen has any one of these in mind during any one of the four avodas, so then it will have the effect that we just learned together in the Mishnah. Take a look at the top Tosos on the Amud. So Tosos teaches us basically what we just said. Avoda kamaisi nakat vuadin nesina bekli v'olach v'aktara. So Tosha says that the Mishnah only chose the first avoda as an example because it is the primary avoda, but the same thing would be true regarding avoda number two, which is depositing in the kli, avoda number three, halacha, bringing it to the mizbeach, and haktara, and the burning of the kemitza. Kediktani sefer dal avos yesh bekomitz keneged dal avos yesh bedam. In fact, we're going to learn this a little bit later on. Kedamin lekamen beperik beis over perik kama dezvachim. Over Osan Dal Avos, continuing a little bit more in Tosfos, and as it relates to these four avodas, Pasla Machshava Shloshman, or Machshavas Pigol Dechutz Lzmano Vechutzim Kama, Ava Betnufa VeHagasha In Machshava Poselas Afagav Debay Kahuna. So Tosfos just notes over here that although we're being very clear that these of the machshava of Shloshman will have an effect during any one of the four avodas that we just outlined, the Kemitza, the depositing of the kamitza into a second kli shares, the halacha and the haktara and the burning of the kamitza. But Tosfos points out there are other events, other activities that we do with a mincha, but here it is not one of the four parallel avodas, and therefore a machshava will not disqualify. So Tosfos gives two examples: tenufa and hagasha. Tenufa is the waving of a mincha under certain occasions. So a mincha is going to be waved. We'll discuss that more later in the Masechta as well. And hagasha. Hagasha, unlike holacha is bringing over the kamitza to the mizbeach. Hagasha is that before the kamitza is taken off, like we read together in the psukim, before the kamitza is taken off, so the entire mincha is brought over to the mizbeach and simply connected, touched, the kli is touched to the mizbeach. So if during hagasha or during tenufa, a kohen had a machshava shelo lishma, so that will not do any kind, and that will not have any kind of effect. By standard mincha, will not detach it from its owner, and by a minchas chote or by a minchas sota, it will not disqualify the carbon. We head back to the Mishnah. Minchas chote, minchas kanosha, kamtzen shaloshman, a mincha of a sinner, or a mincha of a sota, where the kamitza was done shaloshman, nasna bekli, vahalach, vehikta shaloshman, or any one of the avodas, as Tosfos already told us, the Mishnah was going to enumerate all four avodas. Or if any one of the four avodas was done, shelo lishman. O, lishman v'shelo lishman. O, shelo lishman v'lishman, psulos. So here, in doing one of the dalet avodas, one of the four temple services with the karban mincha, if the kohen had a machshava shelo lishman, and even if he had a machshava of shelo lishman and lishma, and the Mishnah also is very clear, doesn't matter what the order is in terms of whether he had the shelo lishman before the lishma, or vice versa. Ketzad, and the Mishnah over here spells it out. Lishman v'shelo lishman, l'shem minchas chote, l'shem minchas nedava. Let's say the Kohen had in mind that this would be a mincha for a sinner, and it would also be a mincha for a voluntary mincha. Shelo lishman v'lishman, l'shem minchas nedava, l'shem minchas chote. So the Mishnah here clearly articulates that if a machshava of shelo lishman were to occur, even in conjunction with a machshava of lishma, so that will, by in the case of a mincha v'chote and the mincha v'sota, disqualify the karban. This is the very same idea that we learned together back in Masechta Zvachim. And the Mishnah over here just simply repeats it regarding menachos as well. Now, another point that we get to review together is that when it comes to a shelo lishma machshava, a machshava of not the right intent, so as we noted back in Zvachim, and we're going to repeat again right now, there are actually two different types of shelo lishma. That is, there is what's called shinui kodesh, and there's what's called shinui bailim. Shinui kodesh means that the kohen is trying to change the designation of the karban when he's doing one of the four avodas. So let's say by a karban, it's an ola, and the kohen now is trying to bring it with the intent of a shlamim. Here by a mincha, so really the truth of the matter is that menachos are a little bit different than karbanos in that a karban, there are actually different types of karbanos. When it comes to a mincha, there is really mincha is one standard offering. It just happens to be that there are subdivisions within the karban mincha. But still, the point of the Mishnah is that if the Kohen has a Shinui Kodesh while doing it, meaning instead of a, let's say it was a sinner's mincha, the Kohen had in mind a mincha of a voluntary offering, a nedava, so then it would be disqualified. This is what we refer to in Halacha Shinui Kodesh. The same thing, however, would be true regarding Shinui Bailam as well. This can also be seen in Tosfos. If you look at Tosfos, fourth to last Tosfos on the Amud, or if you will, second Tosfos down. Shelo lishman, Tosfos writes, L'chor mashma d'ari b'shinui kodesh. Our Mishnah is talking about shinui kodesh k'dem afarsh b'seifa. L'shem minchas chote, l'shem minchas nedava. So our Mishnah is discussing the example of shinui kodesh, where you're trying to change the designation of the carbon. But what about shinui bailim? Tosfos says, V'hua din shinui bailim. Although the same thing would be true, says Tosfos, as it relates to shinui bailim. Meaning that if the Kohen had somebody else in mind other than the owner, so this is referred to as shinui bailim, and this would also disqualify the carbon as well in the case of a minchas chote or a minchas sota. And in the case of your standard mincha, your voluntary mincha, so then it would detach the carbon from its owner if the kohen had another owner in mind. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah, and we begin with the Gemara's discussion. Like I said, It should sound familiar. The discussion we're having now based on our Mishnah is the same exact discussion that we had back in the first daf in Zvachim. Lama li lemisnei ela. Look carefully at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah seems to be giving one additional word. One additional word in the Mishnah. The Mishnah does not just simply hand out words for free. Every word in the Mishnah is significant. And if a Mishnah could have worded itself and omitted one of the words, so the Gemara takes note to the fact that the Mishnah did not omit it. Look at the first line of the Mishnah again. And then the Mishnah says, Ela shalo alu labalim. The word Ela over here seems to be extraneous. What could the Mishnah just simply said? Velo alu labalim. And the Gemara notes that. Lama lu lemisnei ela? Why would the Mishnah have to add the word ela? Lesnei velo alu labalim l'shem chova. So the Mishnah could have been more concise. It is preferable to be concise. The Mishnah could have just simply said velo alu labalim l'shem chova. What is with the word ela? Hakamash malan labalim hu delo alu l'shem chova. Ha mincha gufa kshera. So what the Mishnah is imparting to us by saying the word ela is that this is not a carbon. This is not a minchas. It's not a mincha sota. It's a standard mincha. The mincha is still going to be kosher, even though the Kohen had a shinui kodesh. By which teaches us the Gemara now, since the mincha is still a mincha that is kshera, aser lishinuye. So what we're not allowed to do now is make any kind of deviations with the carbon mincha, meaning we already made a deviation. The Kohen already had a shinui kodesh during, let's say, during the first avoda, during kmitza. So the Kohen had a deviation. So now, what do we say? Okay, so the Kohen deviated. So how about for Avodas 2, 3, and 4, the Kohen just continues making a deviation. What we're learning together now is that no. Despite the fact that, A, Mincha now has been detached from its owner, and there was a Shinui Kodesh that occurred in Avoda number 1, that does not allow the Kohen the right to do any more Shinui Kodesh, not for Avodas 2, 3, or 4. Kidda Rava, the Gemara points out that this is consistent with that which was taught to us by Rava. The Amar Rava, Olo Sheshachta, Shalol Shema, Asol Izrog Dama, Shalol Shema. If I have a Karman Ola that was Shechta, Shalol Shema, you cannot sprinkle the blood, Shalol Shema. Meaning that what you should do is you should sprinkle the blood, L'shem Ola. It's no longer connected to its owner. And so therefore, there's really no effect occurring with the animal. If in fact you have a shelo lishma machshava during the zrika, still, there's an idea that even though you made a mistake once, that does not allow the Kohen the right to continue making the same mistake. Now, ibai sema svar v'ibai sema kra. So either this could be based on a logical argument, or we can actually base this on psukim, this idea that even though shinui kodesh occurs, one should not perpetuate the mistake. Ibai same asvar, we can learn it from asvar mishan the mishani ba kol hanilishne ba venezel. The svar is very simple. Just because you made a deviation once does not give you a right to continue make more deviations. Meaning, okay, so you made a mistake. That does not give license to continue making more mistakes. Ibai same akra, or we could base it on a pasuk. Motzei svasecha tishmor vasisa kasher nadat l'Hashem elokecha. We're going to see it, not this week's Sedra, but next week's Sedra. In Parshas Kisetze, the Torah says that if you make if something comes out of your mouth, meaning you make an obligation for yourself, a voluntary obligation for yourself, what we would refer to generally as a neder. So the Torah says, Vasisa kasha nadarta. So you should do the neder that you made. In other words, you should keep your pledge. L'shem lokecha nidava. And then the Pasuk goes on to say, and this is going to be a nidava. Now, nederhu, karile neder v'karile nedava. Now the Gemara wonders about the pasuk. How could it be both a neder and a nedava? We know that a neder and a nedava are not exactly the same. Yes, they are both voluntary offerings, but they are still qualitatively different. A neder, as we already pointed out earlier this morning, a neder is when a person creates a pledge with a personal responsibility. He says a lie. This is going to be upon me. So that if in the event anything happens to the carbon and the carbon is not brought successfully, so he is now responsible to bring another carbon. Nidava comes out with the words harizu. He points to an animal, or in this case it could be a mincha, and he says that this is going to be donated to the Beis HaMikdash. Whereby saying the words harizu, so no longer is there any kind of personal liability. If something were to happen to the carbon, he would not be responsible. So how can the Torah describe a neder and then in the very same pasuk describe it also as a nidava? And that's what the Gemara is bothered by. Nadava nederhu. How can a neder just simply, how could the Torah just simply transition so smoothly between neder and nadava? So karle neder v'karle nadava. Ela im kamash nadarta asita yei neder. So the Gemara goes on to explain, this is how we're going to understand the pasuk. If you do as you were supposed to do, so then this qualifies as a neder, meaning this satisfies your obligation. The imlav yehena dava. However, if there is a deviation, and by deviation we mean in this context, shinui kodesh, or as we learned together in Tosos, shinui bailim. So if there's a deviation, so now it no longer falls under the category of neder. Now this turns into an adava. And this turns into an adava, and now as we turn to the top of Beis Amud Beis, an adava mishar l'shenuyi ba, okay, fine. So now this carbon falls under the category of nadava. Are we allowed to make a deviation in nadava? The Gemara is asking rhetorically. The answer is no. So in other words, so from the Torah we see that once a carbon transitions from a neder to nadava, and that transition is done because the Kohen had a shinui kodesh, so still the carbon is treated like a nadava, and as a nadava, no shinui kodesh can be done to a nadava. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of this first section of the Gemara. So our first topic for today in the Gemara was, why does the Mishnah insert the word Ella? And the answer is to teach us that even though a shinui was done in the first avoda or the second avoda, doesn't really matter, so no other shinuim can be done subsequently. Even though it doesn't change anything within the carbon itself, the status of the carbon is still going to remain the same, in that by standard mincha, it won't get credited to the owner. By a minchas chote and minchas sota, it will be disqualified. So subsequent shinuim won't do anything. But what we're learning together in the Mishnah is that even though a deviation was done, no subsequent deviation should be perpetuated. We're on Beis Amud Beis. We are now starting the next topic of discussion in the Mishnah. Lema masisin de lo karebi shema. Seemingly, our Mishnah is not going consistently with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon d'Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer kol ha-menachos she-nikmatzu shelo l'shman k'sheres va'alu l'balam l'shem chova she'in ha-menachos domos l'zvachim she-hakomitz machvas l'shem ha-cheshes ma'aseha mochichen alaha l'shum machvas. Sorry. Ma'aseha mochichen alaha l'shum machvas. I was right. L'shum machvas. Chareva l'shum belula ma'aseha mochichen alaha l'shum chareva. Rabbi Shimon advances the following opinion regarding a carbon mincha. A carbon mincha, unlike a... let me take out the word carbon. A mincha, unlike a standard carbon, an animal carbon, is qualitatively, fundamentally different. In that, when it comes to a mincha, so do you know what type of mincha it is? So the actual flour offering, the way it's prepared, already identifies what kind of carbon mincha it is. So as we already went through in the introduction of today's shiur, there are different types of menachos. So the first example that Rabbi Shimon turns to is a machvas versus a marcheshes. They are both fried menachos. A machvas is flat fried on a griddle. Marcheshes is deep fried. Machvas comes out crispy, and the marcheshes comes out soft and spongy. And by the way, just I'm going to make this point a number of times in this masechta. Even though it's soft and spongy, it's not chametz, meaning that it's possible, more than possible. It will be very clear from all the Gemara's upcoming that just because it's soft does not necessarily mean that it's chametz. In fact, it's pretty clear that the two do not have to offend one another. Anyway, the first example that Rabbi Shimon gives is a machvas versus a marcheshes. A machvas is a flat fried. Marcheshes is deep fried. And let's say the Kohen, while preparing the machvas, says that it's a marcheshes. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, it was an attempt at Shinui Kodesh, but an unsuccessful attempt at Shinui Kodesh. Why? Because even though the Kohen is articulating and he's saying that it's a marcheshes, but just look at it. Clearly it's a machvas. So Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to a mincha, simply because the nature of every mincha is that it can easily be identified just simply by the way it's prepared, so then there is not going to be a shinui kodesh as it relates to a mincha. Another example that he gives, chareva l'shum belula. Let's say it's literally a dry mincha. And dry mincha meaning that there's no oil. We'll be learning over the course of this masechta which menachos have oil, which menachos do not have oil. The mincha of a chote, the mincha of a sota does not have oil. Mincha, your standard mincha, does have oil. We'll discuss all this in much greater detail over the course of the masechta. But let's say it's a dry mincha, meaning it does not have oil. And the Kohen says that this is going to be a mincha with oil. So once again, his Shinui Kodesh is going to be ineffective according to Rabbi Shimon, because Ma'aseh HaMochichen HaHalah, just simply look at it. L'shem Chareva, Ava Bezvachim Einu Kein, Shechitas Achas L'Kulam, V'Zricha Achas L'Kulam, V'Kabbalah Achas L'Kulam. However, Rabbi Shimon says that's not, obviously not going to be true by karbanos. Because when it comes to karbanos, in terms of the preparation of the karban, there is one standard method of preparation for a karban. Shechita, zrika. And even though it's true, and Tosfos makes this point, even though it's true that various karbanos have different ways of being zorig the dam, some have one zrika, some have two zrikas, some have four zrikas. So, but still, as we learned back in Masechet Zvachim, so what is essential is only the first zrika. So when it comes to an animal karban, so there is one standard method of preparation. That's why if the Kohen has a Shinui Kodesh when doing any one of the Dalet Avodah, so that will be significant, because by action there is no clear determination that this is one type of karban over another. And that's unlike a karban mincha. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon espouses the viewpoint that when it comes to a mincha, so there can be no Shinui Kodesh as it relates to a mincha. And so what do we have over here? Seemingly, our Mishnah is not in agreement with Rabbi Shimon. Now, we could pause right here, and the truth of the matter is that the conclusion would seem to be very sound. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon simply our Mishnah does not agree to Rabbi Shimon. That could be an easy and simple way to look at it, but it gets a little bit more complicated as we're about to learn right now. In that, Rabbi Shimon's position himself is not super clear. Meaning, I know we just read a brisa, and the brisa was very clear that Rabbi Shimon says that there's no Shinui Kodesh as it relates to a mincha. However, we're going to be learning a little bit later on in this daf, on the halfway down in the Amud, that there's another brisa also espousing the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that there is Shinui Kodesh as it relates to a mincha. And so basically, there is a stira between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon. And how do you resolve the stira? So the Gemara is going to give us no less than three opinions amongst the Amoraim in terms of how to resolve the stira. And so, and it's funny the way the Gemara is presenting this to us, because right now we haven't seen the stira yet. We haven't seen the Amoraim address the stira. And the Gemara right now assumes that we know that A, there's a stira, and B, we know the three different ways that the stira is addressed. But for right now, the Gemara is now addressing is this idea that Rabbi Shimon's position is not super clear, and there is ways to position Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And based on the way you position Rabbi Shimon's opinion, it could very well be that our Mishnah is not going against Rabbi Shimon. So let's see this inside. Hanichal Rav Ashi Damar Kam Bekomitz Machvas L'Shem Marcheshes Kam Bekomitz Minchas Machvas L'Shem Minchas Marcheshes Masnitzem Mincha L'Shem Mincha Hi. So the Gemara says the way Rav Ashi addresses the stira. Now again, I know we haven't seen the stira yet, but the way Rav Ashi addresses the stira is that if the Kohen attempts to change the designation of the Mincha by just using the words Machvas and Marcheshes, so that doesn't do anything. But if he says Minchas Machvas and he says Minchas Marcheshes, so that in fact changes the designation. By using the broader term Mincha beforehand, so even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that would in fact change the designation of the Karban Mincha. Why that should be, we'll discuss later on. But in other words, but that is the way Rav Ashi addresses it, addresses the stira in Rabbi Shimon. If that's the way you're going to be addressing the stira, so then you don't have to say that our Mishnah is going against the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, because our Mishnah could just simply be talking about where the Kohen, when doing the Shinui, uses the broader term of Mincha when he tries to make his Shinui. But Ella, continuing now in the Gemara, Ella la Rabba v'Rava ma'ik la'memar. So, but according to the opinions of Rabba and Rava, they also have ways in which they resolve the discrepancy within Rabbi Shimon. So what are you going to say? V'chite mekedekam mishani Rabba kam b'shinu kosh kam b'shinu ba'alim. And maybe let's go with Rabba's response. Rabba says that maybe the difference between Rabbi Shimon is whether or not the Kohen had Shinui Kodesh, whether or not the Kohen had Shinui Bailim as his Machshava of Shalolashman. So the Gemara says, but that can't be. Hamas Nisan Shinui Kodesh. Diktani Ketz Lashman Vashalashman Lashman Chetz Chote Ulashman Chetz Nadava. Clearly, as we just learned the Mishnah earlier this morning, the Mishnah is clearly talking about a case where there is a Shinui Kodesh. Now, if you're going to go with Rava's answer, where the deviation was changing it to another mincha versus changing it to a karban, so Once again, you look back at our Mishnah is where there's an attempt to change it from one mincha to another mincha. Ella, so the Gemara just simply now makes it summation. LeRabba v'Rava machvarta masisin d'lo k'Rabbi Shimon, meaning that the way that both Rabba and Rava address the discrepancy within Rabbi Shimon, there's simply no way of saying it other than our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon. Whereas according to Ravashi, there is a way to say that our Mishnah is going even within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now, all this brings us to what is the steer between Rabbi Shimon? Truth of the matter is that perhaps this could have come in first for us reading this the first time. Would have been a little bit easier for us if we would have first seen the discrepancy of Rabbi Shimon and seen how the Amoraim dressed it. But the Gemara now presents it. V'rami de Rabbi Shimon ad Rabbi Shimon de Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kodesh Kadashim Hika Chatas Vechasham. The Torah, when introducing us to the Mincha, the Torah says that it is Kodesh Kadashim, falls under the category of Kodesh Kadashim, like we already said in the beginning of this morning's shiur. It's like a Chatas and it's like an Asham. Now, certainly we understand that the Torah is just simply making a base comparison that just like the Karban Chatas and the Karban Ashim falls under the category of Kodesh Kadashim, so does a Mincha. That part's clear. But when the Torah is comparing it to both a Chatas and an Ashim, what is the Torah trying to introduce over there? Yeshmem ke Chatas ve Yeshmem ke Ashim. So this is all Rabbi Shimon talking. Remember, the beginning of this braisa started with the words Rabbi Shimon. Sometimes a Mincha is like a Chatas and sometimes it's like an Ashim. Mincha schote hare ke Chatas, l'ficha kamsa shalosh ma psula ke Chatas. Here, Rabbi Shimon is saying, this is Rabbi Shimon, that sometimes the mincha is like a karban chatas, just like a karban chatas, where there was a shinui kodesh by a karban chatas, so that disqualifies it. Same thing is true regarding a mincha. Minchas nedava, hari kashum, l'ficha kamsa shalosh makshera. And the minchas nedava, on the other hand, is going to be treated like an asham, in that if the kmitza is done shalosh ma, it would be kasher. Uke asham, asham kasher veinam maratza, av minchas nedava, ksher veinam maratza. And just like by the Asham, if Shinui Kodesh occurs with the carbon Asham, so it's Eino, it's the carbon's still good, it's just not going to be credited to the owner. Same thing is true regarding a Mincha. Afmincha Nedavik Sher Veinu Maratza. So, we have now a discrepancy between Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, take a look at Rabbi Shimon on the very top of our Amud, of Beis Amud Beis, where Rabbi Shimon says that Kol HaMenachos Nikmetsu Shalol Shavan Ksheiros Ve'alu Labalim L'Shem Chova. Etc. Meaning the braisa on the top of the Amud teaches us that according to Rabbi Shimon, there simply cannot be Shinui Kodesh as it relates to a Mincha. And the braisa we just learned together, why does the Torah compare the Mincha both to a Chatas and to an Asham? Sometimes it's like a Chatas, sometimes it's like an Asham. When is it like a Chatas? When Shinui Kodesh is done to a Mincha Schote or a Mincha Sota. And it will be disqualified. And when is it going to be like an Asham? When it's a Minchas Nadava. Where if Shinui Kodesh occurs, so then it will be discredited. The owner will be discredited from it. The Mincha itself will still be good. It's just Lo Alu Labalam. And we have now a discrepancy between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon. There are three ways the Amoraim address the Stira. And let's start today with number one, Amar Rabba. Lo Kasha, Kam B'Shinui Kodesh, Kam B'Shinui Balim. So Rabba's answer is, it depends on what kind of Shinui we're talking about. Like we discussed earlier this morning, when it comes to Shinui, there are two types of Shinuim that a Kohen can have. One is Shinui Kodesh, where you're trying to change the designation of the carbon. Two is Shinui Balim, where you try to change the owner. And so, what the Gemara now is suggesting, what Rab is suggesting, is that when we are saying that when Rabbi Shimon says that a Shinui will not affect a Mincha, that's talking about Shinui Kodesh. Why? Because again, go back to the previous Braisa. You can't have a Shinui Kodesh as it relates to Karban Mincha because the way it's prepared is self-evident. You can clearly look at it and see what it is. The Kohen is articulating and saying that it's something else. Yeah, but his words are meaningless considering the fact that we're looking at the Mincha and we see clearly what kind of Mincha it is. So by a Shinui Kodesh, it's going to be ineffective. However, when it comes to Shinui Bailim, so the owner is not obvious, although generally speaking, the owner is somewhere proximate to the Mincha, but it's not obvious who the owner is. So if the Kohen has a Shinui Bailim Achshava, so that will be effective. This is Rabba's answer. So Amarle Abaye. So before we get to see the other answers that are given by the other Amoraim, so the Gemara over here wants to see whether or not this answer that's given by Rabba is really a tenable position. Amalei Abaye Michti. Machshava Depasu Rachmana Hekeshahi. Ma Lishinu Ikodesh Ma Lishinu Ibalim. So Rabbi says, I don't understand. I'm sorry, Abaye says, I don't understand. We're talking about a Machshava Haposel, a thought that disqualifies. So I don't get it. What difference should there be whether or not the Machshava Haposel is Shinui Kodesh or Shinui Balim? Amarle Masa Mochichin Dekamer Rabbi Shimon Svarihi. So the answer goes like this, says Rabbi. Because as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, so Rabbi Shimon here is saying that the Machshava is posel, but it's not based on psukim and drashas, but it's based on logic. Now the truth of the matter is we just went over the logic together. But the Gemara now is pointing out that according to Rabbi Shimon, logic as far as navigating the Torah is in fact a tenable position. Rabbi Shimon allows Svara to be a guide in terms of when the Torah says something is good versus when the Torah says that it's not good. The Rabbi Shimon Darish Time of the Kra. This is an idea that expresses itself time and again throughout Shas, and that is as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, so he is able to establish halacha based on reason and rationale of the Torah. Time of the Krah. Machshava de la Minkra Apostle Rachmana. Machshava de Minkra Apostle Rachmana. And as far as what we're discussing over here, a machshava which is not recognizable, so that is going to be disqualified. A machshava which is recognizable, meaning it flies in the face of what is clearly not the case, so such a machshava is going to be ignored. It will be just simply be disregarded. And under those circumstances, that's why Rabbi Shimon allows for a distinction to be made between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim. Shinui Kodesh, what the Kohen is saying is self-evident. It's not true. Look at the Mincha. The Mincha clearly is not what the Kohen is trying to change its designation, because we could see it's self-evident from the Mincha itself. However, as it relates to a Shinui Bailim, that is not as self-evident, and so therefore when the Kohen has a Shinui Bailim, so because it's not self-evident, so therefore that Machshava is going to be significant. This is Rabba's way of resolving the discrepancy between Rabbi Shimon Braisa number one, Rabbi Shimon Braisa number two. And then if we could just review what we learned earlier this morning, it comes out now that according to Rabba, is our Mishnah going like Rabbi Shimon? The answer has to be no, which the Gemara already told us. I'm just simply reviewing the point. The answer has to be no, because our Mishnah is clearly discussing the topic of Shinui Kodesh, not Shinui Bailim. And our Mishnah says that a Shinui Kodesh Machshava will, in fact, discredit it from its owner, or in the case of a Chote, or in the case of a Sota, it will disqualify the Mincha. Since our Mishnah is talking about Shinui Kodesh, and our Mishnah says it's no good, that clearly is not going with Rabbi Shimon, as Rabba understands Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rabba, Rabbi Shimon would not say Shinui Kodesh is posel, he would only say Shinui Bailim is posel. So clearly our Mishnah, according to Rabba, is not going like Rabbi Shimon. At this point in time, we're going to pause. The Gemara is going to ask a number of questions against this idea of self-evidence. We'll discuss in the beginning of tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.